A unanimous decision from the United States Supreme Court yesterday is probably a landmark. It's in a discrimination case that's been around for at least 15 years, and it concerns a group of more than 100 African-American firefighters and the Chicago Fire Department. The Supreme Court ruled that the black candidates who were looking for jobs within the department did not wait too long before they filed a lawsuit accusing the city of discriminating against them. This case was about the handling of a firefighter's entrance exam back in 1995. And the plaintiff's attorney is Matthew Piers. He joins us now. Matthew, it's been a while since this case was filed and a while since it's been on headlines. Can you remind us of the details of the case?
Surely. In 1995, the city gave an examination for entry-level firefighters to 26,000 people. When the city announced the results of that test in January of 96, it acknowledged that the test had massive disparate impact against African-American test takers. That is to say that whites, on the average, fared far better than blacks and, for that matter, Latinos on the test, but that in spite of that result, they intended to basically select only from among the very top scores on the test for the next several years. That decision and the test were examined by our plaintiff's legal team, and our experts advised us that the test had no validity, that is, no ability to predict better firefighters, and therefore was discriminatory without justification. Lawsuit was filed more than 300 days after the city announced how it was going to use its results, but within 300 days of the second use, and while the case was pending, the city used the test another 9 times for a total of 11. The issue before the Supreme Court was whether the filing was timely in light of the fact that the test was being used continuously. The city argued that the only discriminatory act was the decision as to how they would use the test. The Supreme Court agreed with us that every time the city hired off of the list that it created with the test, it committed a fresh act of discrimination and started the 300-day clock running again.
Okay, but Matthew Piers, it may be a little bit too late for your client, at least. The cutoff age, isn't he 10 years past the cutoff age for becoming a firefighter?
Now, the city acknowledged yesterday that the cutoff age that the city has enacted since the filing of this lawsuit is irrelevant to providing the remedy that is required by this case. So it really matters not for purposes of our lawsuit.
Okay, so what is the remedy for your plaintiff, and what does this mean for fire departments across the country?
Well, the remedy for our plaintiffs will be that the shortfall, which we calculate to be approximately 112 jobs, will be filled by African-American applicants off the list. That is, the Chicago Police Department, which has had a long history of racial problems and of racial exclusion, will get the largest influx of minority firefighters in recent history as a result of the remedy in this case. Plus, there will be a back pay award of roughly $45 million, which will be distributed to the other test takers who aren't given jobs but who also lost the opportunity to get a timely prospect of being hired by the Chicago Fire Department. What this case means, and frankly what the broadly speaking related Ricci case, the Supreme Court's New Haven decision, means, is that employers in general need to be very careful about how they use standardized tests. Standardized tests are often discriminatory in their results and rarely predict performance on jobs. And okay, it's that combination that makes them vulnerable to legal challenge.
Matthew Piers, the plaintiff's attorney in the case of the firefighters against the city of Chicago.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.